Welcome to 21. I'm Drew Lasker. I'm a family man, professional athlete, and business owner of Train Harder 21 and 21 Media. Yvonne Harris and I have teamed up and created this podcast to explore the life lessons that come along with being an athlete. Why 21? It's my jersey number and a key part to my great fortune and career. So it seems fitting for this podcast.
Hi, I'm Yvonne Harris. I'm a proud boy mom and an advocate for efforts that improve the lives of women and children. Experiencing success as an athlete or in any facet of life does not happen by accident. There must be clarity, intention, and the willingness to pivot. Our guests on 21 share their journeys in ways that cause you to reflect, assess, and then take action. We are so thankful for the stories shared on this podcast because Drew and I know their wisdom shortens someone else's path to success. Enjoy this episode of 21.
Welcome to another episode of 21, and we're excited about today's guest as we go soccer, or in the UK, we like to call football. So we got on the line today, we got Director of Accounting for Houston Dynamo FC and Dash, Vanessa Scott. Vanessa, welcome to 21.
Hello, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we always, Vanessa, on 21, we like to have a little icebreaker with the game we call 21 Questions with 21. So if you're okay to have a little fun with us, we're going to dive straight in.
Let's go for it.
Awesome. So we're going to put you right in the hot seat, starting off with one of the toughest questions of our 21 questions: Whataburger or In-N-Out?
That is a tough one. From Houston, so Whataburger.
Beer or tequila?
Tequila.
Beach or mountains?
Ooh, beach, definitely.
Twitter or Instagram?
Instagram.
Tupac or Biggie?
Oh, Tupac.
Jordan or LeBron?
Man, you guys are like really on fire. Jordan.
We like to put you on the spot here. Popeyes or Chick-fil-A?
Popeyes.
Las Vegas or Miami?
Miami.
Action or rom-com?
Rom-com.
IHOP or Waffle House?
Waffle House.
East Coast or West Coast?
Ooh. And then I have to go East Coast for my husband.
Early bird or night owl?
Night owl, definitely.
Car or truck?
Car.
Netflix or Hulu?
Netflix.
Sprite or Dr. Pepper?
Ooh, Sprite.
Summer or winter?
Summer, even though I'm from Houston.
Xbox or PlayStation?
I'll have to go Xbox.
Dishes or laundry?
Dishes, 100%.
iPhone or Android?
That's a great one. Team iPhone all the way.
Homemade or takeout?
Depends on how I'm feeling, but we'll go homemade.
And finally, when you get an opportunity to unwind, Vanessa, are you a club gal or a house party?
Ooh, house party.
And you are now off the hot seat.
Woo. That was a good one.
Good job, Vanessa. Thanks for playing.
Thank y'all. That was fun.
If you're enjoying this episode of the 21 Podcast, support us on Patreon. Every contribution helps to fulfill our mission to distribute content that educates and inspires. Gifts of any size make a positive difference and are always appreciated.
You look like we stretched you out a little bit.
No, some of those were pretty hard to kind of just shoot fire on the hot seat, but
yeah, but some of them you knew for sure, like summer.
Oh, for sure. Me, beach, water, heat. I'm all there for all that. That cold.
And if you didn't know at the start of the year, after that huge winter freeze, I think a lot of people made the determination if they're winter or summer for sure.
I was just about to say the freeze tipped me over that edge.
Yes, No going back.
Well, welcome to my world, ladies. That's my world pretty much 8 months out of the year. That little 3-day stretch that you guys had, that's me pretty much every day, unfortunately.
And Vanessa, he says it like it was just a little 3-day stretch. He doesn't get the no power issue.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, I'm so sorry for you, but I feel like you're still better off.
I couldn't imagine without having any heat, but yeah, I'm glad to see that you guys made it on through. But, you know, we use that to break the ice a little bit and to get to know you before we actually dive into our story. But as we move forward, Vanessa, just tell us a little bit for our listeners. Who is Vanessa? A little bit about your background.
All right. So I was born and raised in Houston, Texas, on the West Side, went to West Side High School. I'm a first generation American. So both my parents are from Latin America. They came here when they were about in high school and kind of just looked for, wanted a better life for themselves and their children. And I'm married, have 2 dog babies, and that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Awesome. So you're not too far from our part of town. Now, growing up on the west side of Houston, did you ever play any type of sports?
I did. So in high school, I played volleyball. Track and field was my main sport. And then, of course, cross country comes with track and field. So those are my main sports, and started playing them seriously in sixth grade. And since then, it's basically been my life.
Just wanted to ask you, of all your sports, which one was your favorite?
Track and field was definitely my favorite and the one that took me the farthest. I feel like, you know, when I first started, I tell the story often, in sixth grade, I kind of dabbled in track and field in fourth and fifth grade. But then in sixth grade, I seriously had my first experience with a real sport. And when I got there, I signed up thinking it was all going to be great. And then my coach, like first day right off the bat, like 10 400s all out. And I was like, what is this? At that point, I was just starting middle school. I had my first real taste of like being pushed beyond my limits. And I went home crying to my mother. And I feel like she continued to make me go. And she said, you know, the one thing that you're not going to do is you're never going to give up. And so you'll finish this season. If you don't like it after that, you can quit. But you've already started this, so you're going to continue it. And for me, that was just a life changer. I feel like I learned so many lessons, and just track and field kind of became the center of my world from that point on.
So you didn't quit after the season?
I didn't. So after I kept pushing myself, I actually became good at it and just continued to thrive and wanted more of it.
When did you notice the transition in that sixth grade year? I'm just curious, like your first day, you were just like, I can't do this anymore. When did it start to get easy? Like, talk to our listeners about, you know, you hung in there for this number of weeks and then it became easier. Because some people just need to know that the journey doesn't last a whole year. But if you just hang on for this amount of time, it'll get better.
Yes, that's very true. I think the whole first week, I basically went home crying and wanted to quit. And my mom just didn't let me. She said, just hang on a little bit longer. And then probably by the end of week 2, I was no longer crying. It was no longer as painful. And then from there, it just kept getting easier and easier. By the end of the year, I could run 10 400s in my sleep and meet the time without any issue. So I'd say at least 2 weeks, if you can get through the first 2 weeks and kind of push through that pain, you'll start to see progress and improvement. And it's just an amazing difference that you kind of feel that you committed to it and you made it through and you were able to, you know, get past that pain.
Quick question, Vanessa, how long do we need to get you to be able to get back to running 10 400s? How long you need?
At this point,
one or 2 weeks.
Yeah, I guess like 2 weeks maybe.
But I think the power in that story, Vanessa, and I'm not going to challenge you to get back to that place, but imagine if you hadn't hung in there for the 2 weeks, not saying that anything bad would have happened. It just may have represented a different trajectory for your life, but you hung in there for 2 weeks and it was just success upon success upon success. And I know it felt like a long time while you were going through it, but looking back, it was just 2 weeks.
Exactly. And I think about that point, like all the time throughout my entire life, just looking back on where I've been and where I am right now and how far I've been able to get just because of those 2 weeks. I mean, the fact that my mom didn't let me quit in sixth grade, I continued to improve. By eighth grade, you know, I was kind of like a rising star in track and field. Then in high school, we won the state championship on our 4x4 relay. I then joined a summer track team where we won the USATF Olympics. So the Olympics that year. And wow. From there, I mean, those things just kind of plummeted me into earning a full track and field scholarship in college. And so that is where, you know, when I say it became the like center of my world, it really did. And I'm so grateful to my mom every day for not letting me quit those first 2 weeks, because it has just pushed me into like unbelievable things. And I was able to earn an undergraduate degree and a master's degree off of my track scholarship. And just when I finished college, I knew that I didn't want to let go of sports. Like I wanted to continue sports being kind of in my life in that day to day. And that's kind of where I landed in merging my finance and accounting background with the sports career that I have today.
Amazing. So let's pause though and go back to sports as a vehicle for you to get to college. What are some of the colleges that you considered? And then tell our listeners where you decided to go.
So I actually had a few scholarship offers. So I had one to A&M, Texas Tech, Tulane University, Rice University, and those were either partial or full track scholarships. And then my parents were really heavy on, you know, work ethic and making sure that our grades were good. And so I had a partial scholarship to Baylor University, non-athletic. And so I ended up choosing, so being in Houston my whole life, I kind of wanted to try something different, step outside my comfort zone. So Tulane University, being in New Orleans, it was close enough, but far away enough to where I could try something new and feel comfortable. And so just went to go visit the school, fell in love with the school, fell in love with the coach. Just, you know, the coach that was recruiting me, he was an Olympic athlete himself. He'd won gold medals in the 1998 Olympics. And so that kind of made me want to further not just my education at a good school, but also my athletic career. And so I chose Tulane University.
And what did you think about the city of New Orleans? I know that had to be a cultural difference for you too.
Oh, yeah.
It was. I absolutely love New Orleans. I think one of the things that I look for in life is expanding my perspectives and being open to new cultures and new experiences. And to me, I completely fell in love with the city of New Orleans. Just everybody was so kind and had that kind of like Southern comfort feel. And it just being such a small city and, you know, having its own traditions around Mardi Gras and just its own cultures really kind of drew me into engaging with the city.
So you decided to go to Tulane. You double majored in finance and Spanish. When did you decide on those two?
So I knew I wanted to do something in business, just didn't know which one. So I kind of started taking the prerequisite business classes and I realized that accounting and finance kind of numbers were what I liked to do and where my strengths were. And so just the more finance classes I took, the more I enjoyed it. And then Spanish. So being that my parents are from Latin America, my first language was actually Spanish. My parents taught it to me. They spoke it at home. So I'm fluent in Spanish. The one thing is, you know, growing up with a Latin American background, but then growing up in the United States, all the classes were in English. So I never really learned how to write and read. I could read, but couldn't really like write full paragraphs or papers in Spanish. I could speak it. And that was about the extent of it. So as I went through college, I decided that I really wanted to commit to learning my culture and being able to not only speak it, but also write it. And so I started taking Spanish classes, the higher level ones where it's like you watch films and read books and then have to write like 7-page papers on them in Spanish. And that to me was super interesting. And I felt like, you know, it gave me that foundation to continue connecting with my culture.
Vanessa, you're giving me flashbacks. You're taking me all the way back to 2000, 2004, which were my college years. And I actually love Spanish. It was one of my favorite subjects during college. Ironically, I did better in Spanish than I did in English. I don't know how that makes any sense. But then on the other side of it, I'm immediately getting stressed because out of every class I can think of in college, because I'm a business major, finance was my most difficult class. So respect to you for, you know, majoring in it and obviously making it a career in it as well.
Thank you. Yeah, I tend to hear that. So I guess I'm lucky that I enjoyed it.
While you were at Tulane, is that when you started to make the connections between finance and your love for sport, or did that come a little bit later? Like, did you know you were going to pursue sports operations?
I did not. So I knew I was going to do something in finance or accounting related because I enjoyed the numbers. And then it was really, you know, being a student athlete, I was juggling sports and school and trying to get through my master's. And when that was finished, it was kind of like this moment where I was like, I don't want sports to end in my life. And I want to continue being in sports every day. And how do I do that? You know, knowing that I didn't really want to pursue a professional career in sports in track and field, I then started looking into the opportunities that sports teams offered, as well as like business opportunities that sports teams offered. And that's where I just started applying for anything that I could, because I was like, I want to get my foot in the door with a sports team and then see what opportunities they offer and go from there.
So give some recruitment advice here. Did you apply for teams across all sports in both Texas and then Louisiana? Like, talk to us about how you kind of cast your net out for opportunities.
Yes. So knowing that I was limiting myself to sports, I applied for pretty much every entry-level job that I could see on Teamwork Online or just anywhere across the United States. I was willing to move, having, you know, just graduated college. I was like, I'm willing to move anywhere to start my career as long as it is in sports. So I applied for every entry-level job that was posted online.
And your first job in sports was?
Ended up landing a job actually in Houston at Toyota Center in the Houston Rockets. And the ticket operations rep in the box office.
Wow, that's great.
That's cool.
Wonderful. And what was that position like? I know it's your first job out of college, but it was back in your hometown. It was in sports. So you manifested what you set out to do. But I know it was a lot of hard work as you got your feet wet.
I did, yes. So the one thing that, you know, you don't really think about, you think about sports careers and you see sports matches or games on TV, is the amount of hours that go into the behind the scenes of those events. And so for me, working in the box office, especially at a venue like Toyota Center, which they constantly have concerts, basketball games. At the time, they had the Houston Aeros hockey team. So, you know, the building was full with events pretty much every night. For me, that was a kind of eye-opener that I was working from 8:30 until like 10 at night, pretty much every day in the hours that just went into it to being there for all the different events, you know, was kind of like that wake up call for me in introduction to the sports world.
And what were those next steps then that got you to your current role?
So as I kind of went through my job in the box office, I started exploring the other departments and really trying to understand what it was that each department did and how they played a role in business operations. And from there, I knew I wanted to transition at some point. And a position actually opened up in the accounting department at the Houston Rockets and Toyota Center. And I decided to apply for it because, you know, finance background, I was like, well, I'll give it a shot and see if this is really what I want to do. So I applied for the position internally. My boss in the box office gave me a great recommendation, said I had a strong work ethic. And so it was kind of an easy decision for them to transition me into the accounting department and started an entry level staff accountant role. And that was the end of it.
And then you eventually moved over to the Dynamo?
Yes. So I spent 1 to 2 years in the accounting department at Toyota Center. And then one of the girls who I actually reported to there left to go to the Houston Dynamo. And when she went, she kind of reached out to me and she was like, hey, the Houston Dynamo and Dash are transitioning. They're building up their accounting department. I would love for you to come join me. And, you know, for me, that was a tough decision. I was like, oh no, MBA or MLS. Like, I love the MBA, but this sounds like a great opportunity. And so I decided to kind of take that leap of faith and joined the Houston Dynamo and Dash accounting department. And from there, it's been a crazy ride. It's been, you know, I've been here 6 years now, and we've built the accounting department basically from 3 people to 7 people. I've been involved in a whole bunch of system implementations and have been able to grow my career so quickly. And it's just been an amazing ride to be a part of.
What a great, great story. Great step for you. Drew, are you hearing the common theme here?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just all about that grind. It's about taking that leap of faith, and it always works itself out in the end. So it's awesome to see. That's something that we hear consistently here on 21. So that's awesome.
And also too, Vanessa, the importance of networking and the fact that you were diligent, you worked hard for, I guess, your manager or your boss, and she thought of you when she made her next move. And that's really a testament to your hard work.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like one of the things, sports not only carried me through to my education, but also gave me that drive to make sure that I'm operating at the highest level in everything that I do. And it's given me such a strong work ethic, and I just credit everything to the way I was raised and what sports gave me and how I'm able to translate that into my work life now and my career.
It all ties back to sixth grade track.
Always. Yeah.
And also your character as well, because when we talk about building those relationships, you know, someone is only going to recommend you if you're a good person. So it says a lot about you as a person as well. So to get that recommendation.
Well, Vanessa, Drew and I had the pleasure of meeting you during the recent International Women's Day summit or panel discussion that the Dynamo and the Dash hosted. And we discovered in that process of, you know, being a part of that event that there are several women in leadership roles with the Dynamo and Dash. So what advice do you give other women who are really hot on pursuing opportunities in sports operations?
So the biggest thing, and this is just based on this experience, is to be confident and believe in yourself. And actually in that event, I know we talked about how I've experienced self-doubt in the past, and you mentioned imposter syndrome. So I actually hadn't heard, well, I think I'd heard of it, but didn't really know much about it. So I went to go do a little bit of research, and I was kind of blown away at how it just kind of nailed me. Like, I was like, this describes me perfectly. You know, I'm doubting myself, and I tend to have high standards and try to be a high achiever. And I think the biggest thing is really just be confident in your abilities, believe in yourself. I've been very, very blessed to have a lot of people who have believed in me along the way. And I think that speaks to my work ethic. But the one thing that I've struggled with is really believing in myself and making sure that, you know, I'm putting in the work, I'm dependable, responsible, like I should believe in myself and just continue to jump at those opportunities, take those leaps of faith, and trust that my work ethic and the work that I've done is enough. I think, you know, for me, it's been a struggle as a woman trying to figure out that kind of balance between overachieving and having a strong work ethic. I feel like sometimes as a woman, I feel like I have to work a little bit harder and kind of be that overachiever so that people see me. And I think that ties in with that self-doubt and confidence. So I'm still trying to figure that out, but at least step one is recognizing it and being able to take steps from there.
And one of the key things to understand about the imposter syndrome is it really is just your internal messaging. And like Vanessa, I have interacted with you and I would never even think for a minute that that would be something that, you know, would be an issue for you. But I think everyone has that experience. And when you feel that, I guess, rising up or, you know, it's your experience in that moment, it's almost like you just have to look at yourself the way other people see you. And sometimes you're your own worst critic. But your supporters are all around you. So it's like you have to almost become your own cheerleader when that messaging, whatever it sounds like to you, starts to play in your head.
Yes, exactly. You said it better than I did.
So Drew, I know you want to jump in here on this woman power moment.
Yeah, I just actually want to ask, because just listening to your story and your journey, I'm sure there's some listeners out there that's inspired, that's like, oh, wow, I didn't realize that there were a ways for me to be involved with professional teams without actually being an athlete. So, you know, for someone out there who's actually in college and, you know, going kind of through your same journey, majoring in accounting and financing, what advice would you give those students that's majoring in those subjects?
So sports related, I would say do the research and kind of understand what positions are available. So I think the other thing would be to really stay current on accounting and finance news, look for internships and your potential interest. I think just getting that experience where, you know, you kind of get a feel for what it is that you like and what you want to do is that first step in really figuring out where you want to be.
Pivoting back to your role in particular, and any job roles in professional sports is viewed as glamorous. And that's mainly because we don't really get to see what happens behind the scenes. But you actually mentioned it a little bit earlier during your time at the Toyota Center that it was a wake-up call for you. So take our listeners through what a typical day looks like for you.
So for me, being on the accounting and finance side, you know, it comes with a lot of staying on top of cash flows, understanding what the other departments are doing. So my day-to-day is really at this level, a lot of meetings to try to understand and be proactive in what the various departments are preparing for matches and games, what expenses they're projecting to expect to, especially right now with COVID, you know, everything is so touch and go. I think, you know, whether we're going to have games or like, are they going to be full capacity? Are they not? And so from a finance perspective, we really have to be on top of understanding, you know, what the capacity is, projecting our revenues, our expenses, so that we can kind of stay ahead of any questions or issues that might arise.
And I'm pretty sure you guys already do, but more so than ever now, we're in this this pandemic of, have you guys had to plan more for worst case scenario?
Definitely. So with a lot of, you know, just the uncertainty, we've had to do a lot of projecting on financials. When, as soon as COVID hit, it was like, what are we going to do? Are we going to have a season in 2020? If we do, how many games is it going to be? And so, you know, at the beginning of every year, we have a budget. And obviously, as soon as COVID hit, that budget just flew out the door. So then it was like, okay, what's our new budget? And just not knowing when the season was going to return and how many games it was going to be, we were sitting there having to plan for 5 different scenarios of, okay, if the season starts in July, what does that look like? If it starts in September, what does that look like? And so I think, especially right now with COVID and just even in 2021, you know, still not knowing when we're going to be fully back to normal, when people will be able to go out and attend sporting events at full capacity, we're still projecting and planning for every different scenario under the sun.
You have a very important, yet it seems like a very hard job, Vanessa. And I applaud you for all that you do for the organization. I know they appreciate you. You mentioned earlier that you work very hard, but what else sets you apart? How have you professionally like branded yourself? Or if I were to ask your boss or one of your colleagues and say, give me 3 words to describe Vanessa, what would that theme be when they describe you?
I think the first thing is that I always look to do high quality work. You know, I set high standards for myself and those who report to me, and, you know, hold them to high standards. Don't really, there's like no negative pressure, but it's just kind of saying, you know, this is where I see that we should operate, and kind of just help to push them along and help them to learn and understand how to operate at those levels. The second thing is I'm very competitive and I attribute that to sports. And so just I'll turn everything into a game. Just yesterday, we had a water challenge in our department where I was like, all right, you have 6 hours, measure your water intake, go. Like, you'll win a gift by 3 p.m. based on whoever has drank the most water today. So just kind of, you know, making sure that there's a little bit of fun mixed in with business, making sure that everybody's staying healthy during COVID times. I feel like one of the things that we don't really get to do is get up and drink water, or get outside, or, you know, really be as healthy as we normally would outside of COVID. And so trying to encourage those things day to day with the group. And then the third thing I think would just be positivity. I try to, in every situation, be as positive as I can and kind of uplift those around me. And even if we're going through a challenge, we look at it as an opportunity and how we can kind of, you know, take advantage of that opportunity and learn lessons or continue to strive for excellent standards.
So I'm going to go get a glass of water after this. And Drew and I will have our own little 21 water challenge, or you can start including us in your department's water challenges. But then, Vanessa, you've mentioned a couple of times, you know, wanting to deliver good work. And you also used the word perfection a moment ago. Have you learned to balance, like, it's not going to be perfect, but good is good enough sometimes?
Yes. So it's something that I'm constantly learning, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Enneagram at all.
No, tell us.
It's this kind of like a test where you understand your qualities and the highest qualities that kind of drive you. And then there's this healthy and unhealthy kind of range and being in those qualities. And for me, you know, that test has really helped me with self-awareness and identify where I kind of sit in my day-to-day and how my perspectives and how I look at things, because I'm actually a one, and that's defined by perfectionism. And so in every situation, I'm always looking to strive for that perfectionism. And I think just being aware of that helps me to understand that not everything's going to be perfect and that my inherent qualities are that I need to strive for that perfectionism. And then two, my boss always says, his favorite quote is probably, don't let good be the enemy of great. And so especially in our field with so much going on, I feel like, you know, sometimes you just have to do things that are good enough to meet that deadline or to meet that kind of work. And you can't be perfect in every situation. So it's something that I'm continuously working on and hopefully aware of.
It sounds like you are working on it. And that's such great advice. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. Well, we know that the Dynamo organization is a shining light in the Houston community in terms of its outreach and generosity. And as Yvonne mentioned earlier, we've actually seen the organization as they've hosted a virtual panel for International Women's Day, in which you were a part of. But are there any charitable organizations that you support or volunteer on a personal level?
Yes. So actually, before COVID, I had kind of made it a challenge for my immediate family, who also lives in Houston, and I to go and volunteer together at least once a month. So we'd kind of look for an opportunity, whether it was Houston Food Bank, going for a few hours to help sort food. We helped at a charity gala, just kind of serving food to people, things like that. So I definitely recognize that volunteering and being kind of servant leader is one of the more important qualities in being a human in this world. I think some of the charities that I do support and that I kind of feel strongly about in my heart are Ronald McDonald House Charities, World Vision, MD Anderson, and then the church that I go to. They do a lot of serving and, you know, serving food and clothes and just being there as a support system for underserved communities around Houston. So those things are very important for me to be a part of.
Yvonne and I have just started a foundation called 21 Foundation. And it's just something fulfilling about being in a position to help others and to give back. So that's something that we're both proud of. But as a former athlete, obviously as a track and field athlete, who were your heroes growing up?
So I honestly have to say that my mom was actually one of my heroes. And I think it came from all the support and the like drive that she provided me. I think she has a strong personality, and being able to grow up with that really influenced kind of my strong personality in certain situations. And so she's definitely her and my dad. They have that kind of, my mom especially has that kind of typical story where when she came to the United States, she was a teenager and her family had like $23 to their name. And from there, just the opportunities that they've been able to provide for their children have been amazing to just kind of look back and see how hard they have worked and the work ethic that they have instilled in their children and been able to grow. You know, my dad went from working at Pizza Hut in the mailroom to being a part owner of his own company in the oil and gas industry. Wow. Those are the things that, you know, really push me forward and inspire me to do better and be better.
And I know they are so proud of you too, Vanessa. So I know you admire them and they're looking at you in the same way.
Thank you.
That's great. So when you are not managing all the money for the Dynamo and Dash and doing all of your charity work in the community, what do you do to have fun?
Man, I love working out. Always be there. So anytime I can work out.
Does working out consist of running? Are you a runner?
You know, I like to say I'm retired from running. I'll do a couple sprints here and there, but, you know, running my whole life, my body kind of feels that impact. So I like to do kind of boot camp and HIIT type workouts and things to just kind of get that momentum in there. I love being outside. And experiencing nature, if I can go on hikes, take my dogs for walks, things like that. And then I love creative things that'll take my mind off of, you know, handling the finances day to day for a sports organization. So arts and crafts, things like that.
Exercise the other part of your brain.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it sounds like, Vanessa, your dogs want to go for a walk.
Oh, definitely. They always want to go for a walk, especially with this nice run.
One of those. So if you could go back and speak to younger Vanessa, what advice would you give her?
I think the biggest point that I would say is don't be afraid of the unknown. You know, there's so many times where, like when the accounting position opened up, at the Houston Rockets and Toyota Center, you know, I was afraid to take that leap. And so many other times in my life where, you know, you just kind of, you become very hesitant because you're used to the norm and you're used to what's comfortable to you. And I just say, don't be afraid to take that leap and don't be afraid of what is unknown to you.
Yeah. And you know, just listening to you today and being able to hear about your journey to director of accounting is something that you should be very, very proud of, being a female and then also being Hispanic as well. You gave some advice in the International Women's Day panel to another young lady who felt like her ethnicity would possibly hold her back. So that's something from that panel that really stood out to me. And I'm pretty sure that's something that has inspired her. But just thinking about your career and your success, what's next for you now? What do you think is next for you in Lion in the future?
Love sports, so I'll probably stay in the sports industry. I do. I really enjoy, and I think the thing that satisfies me most is personal growth. And so reading books, understanding a variety of different perspectives, learning about different cultures, I think to me, that makes me feel fulfilled and on a continuous path of growth as an individual. But in my career, obviously, next step is VP, reaching that executive level. And so I'm striving for that.
Speaking into existence.
Of course, looking for those opportunities to continue to be an example to, you know, minority women and women, first generation Americans, people who, you know, maybe have had more of a difficult background, things like that. And, you know, it's that kind of representation, like when young girl see Kamala Harris, it's just being that feeling of inspiration, I think, to encourage and empower young girls and other women who come after me to take those leaps, be confident, and continue to grow and break barriers.
And Vanessa, you're already doing that. And as Drew said, speak it into existence. So go big. I want to see Commissioner Scott or Team Owner Scott in the future. I know it's step by step, but go big.
I definitely strive for that. I used to say that prior to getting into the higher level of my career, I used to say I wanted to own a sports team. So let's keep going for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We appreciate you coming on our show today, Vanessa, and love to hear your inspiring story today. But as we close, when you're getting ready for one of those HIIT sessions or getting ready to work out, I'm curious to know, what does a director of accounting have on their playlist? What's on your playlist?
And give us something good, Vanessa. I have to work out this afternoon, so give me something to rock out to.
Oh, man. I was going to say, don't tie it into director of accounting. You know, actually, I'm very diverse in my music, kind of what I like to listen to. And so it really just depends on the situation, where whether I'm looking for some, you know, calm relaxation or about to get a workout in. So I have a variety of different artists. If you click on a playlist, I think you might be surprised at how it might jump from like pop Maroon 5 to Drake and Future or Rihanna, you know, you might hear Anthony Hamilton and the next song is Bad Bunny. So I like love all types of music. Hip hop rap is probably the main one to get me going during a workout, but I'll listen to pretty much everything.
Well, you and Drew are both fans of Drake.
Yeah. Nice.
Yes. You hit a good one there.
Yes.
Well, this has been so much fun, yeah. Vanessa. Thank you for your time. Really enjoyed to get to know you a little bit more today. So thank you.
Thank you. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on today. As we close with Director of Accounting with the Houston Dynamo FC and Dash, Vanessa Scott.
Thanks to everyone for tuning in. To the athletes, keep being the best you can be. Run your race with excellence. To the parents of athletes, let's continue to support our children with patience, grace, and understanding, learning to recognize how to truly become the guides and the stewards that we are supposed to be. To everyone, be willing to share your experiences to help others along their paths, and always be open to the wisdom that comes your way.
For more information about the 21 Podcast, 21 Media, and services provided by Train Harder 21, visit the website at drewlasker.com and follow us across all social media platforms. Remember to add this podcast to your playlist, subscribe, rate, and review. Until next episode of 21, Train Harder.